This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, February 20th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, imagine a machine that can print paperback books right on the spot. We'll get a report from the Environment Report's Rebecca Williams, finding that that kind of a technology is already here, and the company hopes it'll soon be in coffee shops, bookstores, and cruise ships. We'll also check the forecast that includes up to 5 inches of snow by tomorrow night. But first, a look at today's news. A former aide to then-Governor Rob Blagojevich says Roland Burris gave him a call last fall during which he expressed interest in filling a Senate seat should Barack Obama win the presidency. Former Blagojevich administration chief operating officer John Filan also says Burris called after Blagojevich's December 9th arrest on federal corruption charges, during which Burris asked Filan to put in a good word with then-Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn in the event Quinn became governor. Burris first publicly expressed his interest in the Senate seat in November. He told the Illinois House Impeachment Committee that recommended Blagojevich's impeachment that he hadn't had contact with key Blagojevich staffers or offered anything in return for the Senate seat vacated by Obama. Burris has since released an affidavit saying he had spoken to several Blagojevich advisors and tried to raise campaign funds. A Chicago minister tells the Associated Press he and other black pastors who previously supported Burris now plan to ask him to resign. The minister spoke yesterday on condition of anonymity because a meeting with Burris hadn't yet been scheduled. Many of the city's black pastors supported seating Burris because of his scandal-free reputation, even though he was appointed by then-Governor Rob Blagojevich after the governor was arrested. But revelations that Burris attempted to raise money for Blagojevich while seeking the Senate job have eroded some of his support. Blagojevich is accused of trying to sell the appointment. A Burris spokeswoman didn't return a phone message. Republican lawmakers say the growing scandal over Burris' appointment to the Senate proves voters need to choose who should represent them in Washington. Todd Fuhr has that story.
Burris waited until after he was seated to reveal that he tried to raise money for Rod Blagojevich while seeking the former governor's appointment to the U.S. Senate. Top Illinois Republicans are pushing a new proposal to take away the governor's power to fill vacancies in the U.S. Senate on his own and instead hold special elections. Palatine House Republican Matt Murphy claims that according to the U.S. Constitution and state law, Senator Burris's appointment is temporary and lawmakers can schedule a special election to replace him up until 2010.
And in doing so, we can begin to repair our state's reputation. Returning that, to use the phrase, bleeping golden Senate seat, back to the people is the only real way, the only real solution to the state's embarrassing problem.
Republicans say a special primary election could be held in April and a general election could be held in May, but a spokesman for the Democratic House Speaker says the proposal would likely prompt an expensive legal battle that could last several months. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
Meanwhile, Governor Pat Quinn says he wants a law passed setting up a special election to fill vacant Senate seats. Quinn says giving the people a voice is the best way to avoid the problems Illinois has had with the recent Senate vacancy, but Quinn says the governor would still name a placeholder senator.
So there would be an appointment, a temporary appointment, until the results of a special election. I think that's the best way to deal with making sure the people have a voice, and at the same time, Illinois is not shortchanged of having its complement of two senators.
Quinn's suggested timeline would have the governor issue a writ of election within 5 days of a Senate vacancy, a primary 72 days later, and a general election 43 days after that. The Champaign County budget is getting a mid-year cut to adjust to decreasing tax revenue. The Champaign County Board approved the spending reduction last night along with a hiring freeze. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Champaign County officials found enough non-personnel spending cuts to avoid making county workers take unpaid furlough days. But the county won't be hiring many new workers, even to fill vacant positions. Any hiring for jobs paid for out of the general corporate fund must first be okayed by the County Board Finance Committee. All in all, the Champaign County budget is getting a $1.2 million trim this year to adjust to sharp declines in sales and income tax revenues. Will the county's tax revenue projections for the rest of FY 2009 hold up, or could things get even worse? County Administrator for Finance Deb Busey paused before answering the question.
Well, I believe it's a realistic projection at this point in time. Based on what we're seeing right now, I believe the anticipated decline in revenues of 5% for the quarter cent and 3% for some of the other sales and income taxes is realistic based on what we're seeing right now.
The Champaign County Board voted 23-1 to approve the reductions. Urbana Democrat Sam Smucker voted no. He said he thought the reductions were too much too fast. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
In other action, the Champaign County Board voted to reappoint Ed Vaughn for a second term on the Champaign Southwest Mass Transit Board. Democrats who opposed the upstart mass transit district on principle led a party-line vote against Vaughn in December, but six Democrats switched their vote after Vaughn and the Champaign Southwest MTD's attorney appeared before the county board last night. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Books are changing. Just like the music industry, books are going digital. There are already those digital books you can read on a little handheld device. Now there's a machine that will print the book you want from a digital file while you wait. Rebecca Williams reports the machine's creators say it could transform the publishing industry by making it a lot less wasteful.
The makers of the Espresso book machine say it's like an ATM for books. It prints paperback books in about 3 to 5 minutes. It's this big metal and glass contraption with lots of little robotic parts on the inside. Maria Bonn at the University of Michigan Library is showing me how hers works. With a click of a mouse, she's chosen a book file, and the thing kicks into action.
And this is a standard laser printer, printing on both sides of the paper. So that tap-tap you hear is the pages being lined up and put all into place.
Everything happens so fast. I mean, I blink, and it's already printed the color cover. Then the pages get rolled over this pot of orange glue, stuck to the cover, and the whole thing gets trimmed down.
You have to catch the book. Oops, which I failed to do. And there's your book.
And just like that, I have my very own copy of Stories of Ye Olden Time from 1895.
It's pretty indistinguishable from a paperbound book in a bookstore.
And that's exactly the idea. Dane Neller heads up On Demand Books. It's the company that makes the machine and the software system behind it.
Our overall vision is a radically decentralized marketplace where these machines would be installed. And it could be in bookstores, it could be in libraries, it could be in coffee shops and cruise ships.
There aren't a lot of these things around yet. Just about 15 libraries and bookstores have the machine. But there are about 1 million book titles ready to go. And if the book's under copyright, the system automatically sends off royalties to the right people. Dane Neller says these machines could make the publishing industry more efficient.
Much of the book industry is wasteful in that publishers built into their model an oversupply of books because they factor them into their sales price, especially on the trade side, the bestsellers and the books that the general public buys. Typically, that represents a 33 to 40% return factor.
That means about 4 out of 10 books don't get sold at bookstores. So they get shipped back to publishers. Then they might get shipped out again to somewhere like Costco or Sam's Club, or recycled, but they're often thrown away or burned. Dane Neller says the book machine can stop all that extra printing and shipping and waste because you only print what you sell. But he says bookstores will always need lots of copies of the big bestsellers on hand.
It will not replace centralized production because there always will be a need to produce large quantities of single titles, the Danielle Steeles, the large romance novels. That's still much more efficiently done centrally. But everything else can be done decentrally.
So when I walk into a bookstore in the future, there might be big stacks of bestsellers and then a few book machines, but not a lot of other books to look at. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't know what I want when I walk in. I like to see what catches my eye. Cynthia Ransley manages the Shaman Drum Bookshop. She says maybe the book machines will help her industry make more money and be more efficient. But she says she can't imagine not having a physical store where you can spend hours just looking around.
I think that the book as an object is still really a tangible part of people's lives. And that's where bookstores like ours really, we have tons of beautiful books. And the way that, cover art has been improving. And it becomes a piece of art in and of itself.
And that might never change. But what if you really need a book and it's out of print? Sometime in the near future, you could go to a bookstore, do a search, and just print it out. For the Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Park Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can find more information and share your thoughts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region, increasing clouds, not as cold today. We'll have a high around 35. Tonight, a chance of snow or rain, then snow likely after midnight with accumulation of 1 to 2 inches. The low around 28 degrees. Snow likely tomorrow morning, a chance of it in the afternoon. Accumulation of 1 to 2 inches possible, a total accumulation of 2 to 4 inches, the high around 32 degrees. Temperatures steady or falling in the afternoon, the west winds up to 25 miles an hour. Colder tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a chance of flurries, the low around 14, mostly sunny on Sunday, the high around 28. Partly cloudy Sunday and Monday, Sunday night and Monday, the low around 13, the high around 35. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, February 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.